All over the country today, kids are working themselves up into a frenzy of anticipation over a book. Our book critic, Maureen Corrigan, considers the powerful spell cast by the Harry Potter books.
Last summer, a friend I hadn't seen in a while brought her 8-year-old daughter over to visit. Chloe loves to read, my friend proudly told me, especially Harry Potter and Nancy Drew books. I told Chloe that I love both those series too, and that somewhere in my basement was a box full of the Nancy Drews I read as a kid. I told her I thought I had some doubles of the mysteries that she could have, and maybe after lunch we could get them. That's when this shy little girl looked me directly in the eye and said, "Could we open that box now?" The force of the yearning in her voice moved me and made me remember what it was like to be a budding bookworm and to want a book and to have to depend on some adult to get it for you. So I hustled down into my basement, found that box, and broke one of my lifelong rules. I not only gave Chloe some Nancy Drew doubles, I gave her some of my one-of-a-kinds, too. She was thrilled, especially because, as she told me, these were the really old Nancy Drews. I'll bet Chloe and her parents will be standing outside one of our local bookstores tonight, waiting for the clock to strike 12:01. That's when the newest Harry Potter book, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, officially goes on sale. I know, the hype around Harry Potter is getting hard to take. 21 million copies of the first three books in the series already sold, a record first printing of 3.8 million copies of the new book, which even reviewers couldn't get ahead of time. Front page stories this week in the New York Times and the Washington Post, a Harry Potter movie in the works. But try as I demonically might, I can't find a downside to the Harry Potter phenomenon. In a New Yorker interview earlier this summer, Philip Roth dismally and persuasively observed that TV, the internet, movies, and videos have just about decimated our reading culture. So maybe that's the depressing aspect of this story, that our general expectations for reading habits, juvenile and adult, have fallen so low, it's big news that kids actually want to read some good books. But the redeeming element that makes all this Harry Potter hoopla bearable is that the books are good. This is one of those lucky times in the history of modern popular culture when what people want intersects with artistic quality. To get excited about the Potter books is not just to surrender to a commercial phenomenon. It's also a mark of intelligence and taste, like Beatlemania versus, say, Britney Spears frenzy. The Potter books are richly imaginative, morally complicated, evil does exist, and innocent people actually die, as well as a bit challenging to read. This latest book is 752 pages, and like the others, is sure to be filled with arcane lore about Quidditch, Muggles, and other aspects of Harry's life in the Hogwarts school of witchcraft and wizardry. What else goes into the magic formula? The seriousness of the books, for sure. Most literary critics look down on series fiction as lesser art, but a series can develop characters and their world slowly over years. Certainly the fact that Harry and his friends get older and change from book to book strengthens the illusion that they're really alive. I also think author J.K. Rowling was very smart to make her hero, Harry, an ordinary kid who's been secretly watched for years by the invisible world of wizards because they see him as a prodigy. That powerful fantasy of being recognized as special by somebody out there appeals to readers, young and old. And the whole premise of the Potter books, that there's an invisible, enchanted world existing side by side with the visible, mundane one, is so enticing. It's kind of a parallel to the experience we readers have when we lose ourselves in the ineffable world of a good story. None of these narrative ingredients is exclusive to the Potter books. The magic, as always, derives from how Rowling, the writer, mixes everything up. A dash of dialogue here, an eye of Newt there. I'd love to be about 8 years old and in one of those chaperoned crowds outside a bookstore late tonight, to have an eager community of readers around you who alleviate the necessary solitude of the act of reading by all reading and wanting to talk about the same book, Well, that's what many adults try to create through book groups. But the passing around of brie and crackers, gossip and irony, usually breaks the literary spell. Kid readers' passion for Harry Potter is pure. I'm sure if you stood in one of those bookstore crowds tonight, waiting for those top-secret shipments of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire to be unsealed, you'd hear more than one kid ask, "Could we open that box now?"
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.